The four last things. Few things, and for absolutely certain, the most undebatable is death. Every man, even the atheist, would this much. Death, however, is not the very last event in this life of ours. Right after death, we shall be judged. Our private judgment will be repeated on the day of judgment, when all men will know us for what we are. Our judgment will depend on how we live this earthly life of ours. If we have honestly done our best and followed the commandments of Christ, we shall be rewarded with the perfect life of heaven. If, however, we have disregarded his loving directions and refused to make use of his generous help, we shall be condemned to hell. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. These are the four last things toward which we are moving each hour of the day and night. They will never frighten us if our conscience is clear. If we love God in our daily life, that is, if we are sincerely trying to know and follow his holy will, we have no reason to fear. By keeping this eternal goal ever before us, we shall think straight when life's problems and difficulties face us. In making the following meditations, we must strive to become eternity-minded. We must seek to guarantee to ourselves, as far as is in our power, the unending success and unmarred happiness of heaven. Chapter 13, Nearness of Death. Christ said, "My child, in a little while this earthly life of yours will be over. Just how ready are thee to enter into the next life? Man exists today, and tomorrow he is seen no more. When he is out of sight, he is quickly also out of mind. The human heart can be so dull and hard, it fixes its attention on things present, it often fails to provide for the things that are to come. In the morning, consider for a moment the fact that thou may not live till evening. When evening comes, do not be too confident that thou wilt see the next morning. These thoughts should not make thee gloomy, but practical. Live in such a way that death will never find thee unprepared. Live each day as thou would want to live the last day of thy life. Too many die suddenly and unprepared. I have warned everyone, the Son of Man will come at that hour when he is not expected. How many have deceived themselves into thinking that they still had plenty of time? They were snatched unexpectedly from this life. How often have thou heard that someone was killed in a fight, another was drowned, another fell and broke his neck? This man died while sitting at table, that one passed away while enjoying a game. Some die by fire, some by violence, some are destroyed by disease, some are killed at the hands of robbers. Thus death brings an end to all, and man's life suddenly passes away like a fleeting shadow. Think, why should I refuse to face facts? Will I die any sooner if I think of death? Or am I going to escape death if I never think of it? The most terrible death which can come to me is the death which will find me in mortal sin. Every other aspect of death is a passing thing, but this last phase, the unprovided death, will hurt me forever. Death, with all its uncertainties, is a fact. I should face facts and see what can be done about them. What can I do about death? I can live in such a way that no matter when death comes, it will find me in sanctifying grace. Pray. Lord, for those in mortal sin, death is the gateway to hell, but for those in sanctifying grace, it is the pathway to heaven. Let my greatest desire in life be to live in such a way that I can die fearlessly at any moment. Let me fear sin more than death or any other earthly harm. Amen. Chapter 14, Man's Last Moments. Christ said, "My child, when thy hour, last hour, arrives, thou wilt see this earthly life in a new light. If thou wert neglectful and careless about my law, thou wilt have great regret. If thou lived as I desire, thy heart will be full of joy. The time is coming when thou would like to have another day, or even one more hour, to make up for the past. Take thy day and thy hour now, that thou have the time. Who can guarantee thee another hour, when thou feel life slipping away? Death may come at any time. Always be ready for it. In this way thou wilt be free of fear or danger, no matter when my angel calls thee from this life. Live in such a way that the hour of death may bring thee joy rather than fear. Never love any earthly thing too much. Place thy confidence in me and look to me as thy greatest treasure. I am far more to thee than thou can ever suspect. A weak soul is enslaved by its earthly desires and loves. The prayerful man gains a heavenly liberty from this life, a liberty which is not understood by worldly men. Think. No matter what my interests may be, or how important they may seem, when death comes, I will leave everything and go to my judgment at once. Others will take my place and assume my importance in my activities. Few people know that their death is near. Most men are surprised by the arrival of death. To those who love God, it is a cause of joy. To those who love this earthly life too much, it is a painful parting. Pray. My God, make me wise in my esteem for the work, the pleasures, the honor, and the successes of this earthly life. Let me want nothing that might separate me from you. My first interest shall be to please you, to do everything as you desire. In this way, I hope to be ready for eternity every moment of the day. Amen. Chapter 15. The Peace of a Good Conscience. Christ said, My child, if thou have a good conscience, thou need not have any fear of death. It is better to try to avoid sin than try to escape death. A wise man reflects often on the hour of death, so as to be prepared for it at all times. If thou want to please me, try to become today the kind of man thou would like to be at the time of thy death. Make this effort, and death will find thee full of confidence and peace. For this must thou daily strive. A healthy contempt for worldly comforts, a burning desire to advance in virtue, a love of right order in thy actions, a spirit of penance, readiness to obey authority, self-discipline, and patience to bear adversity for my sake. Think. A good conscience means that I have honestly tried to learn what God desires of me, and I have sincerely tried to do what he desires. Without these two efforts, there is no good conscience. A man who knows that he has really made these two efforts has a good conscience. To such a man, God gives his peace. Others may be distracted with earthly activities and interests, but they do not have that interior peace which can remain calm even in the face of death. Pray. My God, I hope to obtain your holy assistance so that I may never avoid learning your holy will, nor ever fail to follow it in my daily life. I may find a little less pleasure if I follow your will, but I shall enjoy your peace, which is greater than any pleasure. If ever I become selfish enough to avoid your will, let my conscience disturb and annoy me until I return to you. Amen. Chapter 16. Being Ready for Death. Christ said, My child, your actions and thoughts should always be as orderly as though thou expected to die this day. If thou art unprepared today, how wilt thou be prepared tomorrow? Tomorrow is uncertain. How do thou know that thou wilt be alive tomorrow? If thou have ever seen a person pass away, just reflect that thou too may pass away as he did. Thou can do many good works while they enjoy good health, but when thou art sick, who knows what thou wilt be able to do? Few people are improved by sickness. So too, those who have too many worldly interests seldom increase in holiness because they are full of distractions. Recollection and prayer are the seeds of a good life, and a good life is the path to a holy death. It is better to provide for thyself while thou art still here in this life. Do not rely on the prayers and help of others after thy death. The present time is precious. Now is thy opportunity. This is thy day of salvation. Spend today profitably. Send thy prayers, sacrifices, and good works to me before thou come to me to be judged. It is within thy power to earn eternal life by a wise use of this present time. Think often of death, and remember that time lost will never return. Thou have not a lasting dwelling on this earth. In this life thou art like a traveler. Thou wilt never have rest until thou art united with me, thy Savior. Think. Few things are certain in this earthly life. The most certain fact of all is that I am to die. When, where, how, I know not. That I shall die, however, is certain. Many people are dying at this very moment. I am too busy with my own life to give much thought to them. So will it be when I am dying. That moment will be very important to me, but the world will go right on about its business. If I do not prepare for death by a good life, I am a fool. Pray. Lord, let me not fear death with an empty fear, but with a wise and holy fear. An empty fear does not make men any better, but a wise and holy fear urges them to improve their lives. I will prepare for death by trying today to please you more and more in my thoughts, desires, words, and actions. If I live this day as thou desire, I shall be ready at any moment, and death will be nothing worse than your loving call. Amen. Chapter 17, The Coming Judgment. Christ said, My child, thou must one day give a full account of thy earthly life. How wilt thou stand before me, the just judge, from whom nothing is hidden? I take no bribes and accept no excuses. At present, thou can take advantage of my divine mercy. When this earthly life is over, thou wilt receive strict justice. Can thou be so great a fool as to go on putting off thy good resolutions, when pardon can so easily be obtained now? If thou go on postponing thy resolutions, how wilt thou face my divine justice, thou who art sometimes frightened by an angry fellow human? Why not begin today to prepare for the day of judgment? Thou wilt find it far less terrible if thou begin now to live as I command. On the day of judgment, no man can be excused or defended by another. Each one will find it difficult enough to answer for his own sins. Think. While I am on earth, my efforts are useful, my tears are acceptable, my sorrow has power to purify my soul. God desires to forgive me here and now. It is better to wash away my sins and correct my bad habits now, rather than leave them for purification after death. I am deceiving myself when I follow my feelings and put off my repentance and resolutions. Pray. Lord, let me think of my sins and be sorry for them, so that on the day of judgment I may enjoy security with your angels and saints. Teach me to do penance in little things now, so that I may not be subjected to worse sufferings hereafter. True, I should do all of this in loyalty to you, yet I am so selfish that I must have some fear to spur me on when my love for you fails. Amen. Chapter 18, The Day of Judgment. Christ said, My child, those who are loyal to me, to my commandments in this life, will not be in terror on the day of judgment. The sign of the cross will appear in the sky when I come to judge the world. Then all my loyal followers, the followers of the cross, will come with great confidence to me, their crucified king and judge. On that day, the just shall stand against those who annoyed and persecuted them. Those who humbly bore the judgments of their fellow men will rise to judge the rest on that day. The poor and the humble will have great confidence and joy, but the proud and the selfish lovers of this world will have many reasons to be afraid. In that hour, everyone will see that the wisest people were those who preferred to follow my commandments and live my way. They will no longer be considered fools by the worldly minded. All wrongdoing will be silenced and condemned, while every suffering endured with patience will bring joy and gladness. The unreligious will be sad, but my devoted followers will be filled with happiness. Many will thank me for the hardships and trials which they bore on earth. That day will show forth my power, wisdom, and majesty. Think, like a river that flows ever onward toward the sea, the current of daily life moves ever onward toward the day of judgment. That day will correct the wrong standards and foolish ideals of worldly men. It will be the day of truth, the triumph of holiness. Will I drift along on my daily course, or will I regularly check my direction by an intelligent self-examination? I prepare for a joyful judgment or a fearful one by the kind of life I live today. Pray. O Jesus, my judge and king, I refuse to drift along each day until death takes me by surprise. I want to follow your standards as you speak to me today through your church. Tell me how you want me to live, and I hope to follow your every wish. I need not fear the judgment if only I will be loyal to you in my daily life. Amen. Chapter 19, God's Standards. Christ said, "My child, on the day of judgment, the rags of the poor will shine more brilliantly than the fine clothes of those who love this earthly life too much. The homes of the poor will be honored more than the comfortable mansions of the rich. In that hour, the patience of my loyal followers will have greater merit than the human might of this world. Simple obedience to my laws will be more highly praised than all earthly cleverness. In the day of truth, a pure and good conscience will bring more joy than mere learning. The man who refused to sin for earthly gain will be the envy of those who lived only for this world. You will have more consolation for having prayed devoutly than for having enjoyed earth's pleasures and comforts. All the sufferings known to man are as nothing in comparison with the suffering of hell. The wise man would rather bear any trial on earth than place himself in the danger of hell. One single hour of hell will be harder than 100 years of suffering on earth. In this earthly life, people have some rest from their labors and trials. They get some measure of consolation from their friends. In hell, however, there is no rest, no consolation, and no friends. The fires of hell will never die. There will be no end to suffering. One will find no comfort in knowing that he has been there 1,000 years. He can never hope for an end to his tortures. All the other sufferings would be bearable if only the damned could hope for relief. Despair is hell's bitterest pain. In hell, a man will be punished through the same faults by which he sinned on earth. Each sin will have its own particular torment. The lazy will be forced to work continuously. The gluttonous will be tormented with extreme hunger and thirst. The proud will be filled with confusion, and the greedy will feel the pinch of miserable want. And yet, the worst pain of hell is none of these. The people in hell would gladly bear all of this and much more, if only they could hope for my friendship and love, no matter how long it might take, be it even 1 billion years from now. Their keenest torment is that they have forever lost me, the source of all true joy and perfect happiness. This suffering makes hell the home of despair and undying hatred. My child, follow my will in thy daily life, and thou need never fear hell. In fact, thou have every reason to be joyful and merry if thou art following my commandments and using my sacraments. Do not condemn thyself to hell by refusing to obey my directions. I love thee dearly, do not prevent me from taking thee to heaven. Think, hell is a fact. Christ our Lord pointed this out time and time again during his earthly life. Whoever rejects this fact is simply denying the word of Christ. He is God. He proved his divine power many times during and after his earthly life. His word is truth. He preached the truth of hell and continues to preach it today through his church and holy scripture. Pray. My Jesus, many find too hard a command in the words, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Yet a much harder command will be, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. If I become so impatient with a little suffering now, how can I ever stand hell? I cannot expect to have unrestricted enjoyment on earth and still rejoice with you in heaven. Therefore, dear Lord, that I may be safe from eternal punishment, let me do my best in bearing the burdens of this earthly life. Let me prefer to suffer on earth or even die now rather than commit a mortal sin. Amen. Chapter 21. Holy Fear of God. Christ said, My child, if thou desire to make progress along the way to heaven, keep in thy heart a holy fear of the divine justice. It is only reasonable that thou should be afraid to hurt thyself. When thou bring sin into thy life, thou art making thyself an object of my justice. I, the eternal truth, cannot accept thee as good if thou have become bad by sin. Therefore, keep thy earthly desires under control and refuse to surrender thyself to unnecessary or dangerous pleasures. This holy fear of my justice will help thee to stay free of the slavery of earthly distractions. It is not very wise to think only of having a pleasant time and to forget thy spiritual needs. It is reasonable and good for thee to be afraid of losing my graces. Without them, thou can never reach the perfect life and happiness of heaven. If thy love of me is not yet strong enough to hold thee back from doing wrong, then let thy fear of hell keep thee from sinning. A man who lacks this wise and holy fear will not go on doing good for long. He will soon fall into Satan's snares as he becomes more careless in avoiding temptations. This fear is a holy thing because it is given by me. It makes a man strong in the daily battle against his unreasoning and selfish desires. Even the saints, with all their confidence in me, had this fear of divine justice. They knew the weakness and blindness of human nature. They were not less careful nor less humble because of their great virtues and many graces. Think, if my love of God ever fails to hold me back from sin, it will be because my self-love is strong at the moment. Yet, even then I can make a last effort against this misguided love by the thoughts of God's justice, which will deal with me as I deserve. It is a foolish man indeed who will refuse to consider the harm that can overtake him if he follows a certain path. This holy fear of God's justice is the beginning of wisdom, because it guides men on to a holier life. Pray. My God, I do not want to presume so much on your love as to forget your justice. You will someday deal with each man according to his works. I desire to make good use of all the gifts which your love daily sends me. May I never forget that I must one day account for my misuse of these gifts. This thought will help me to fight sin and to please you more in my daily life. Amen. Chapter 22. Compunction of Heart. Christ said, My child, how can any man abandon himself to the pleasures of this earthly life? Such people do not appreciate the miserable condition of their souls, nor the rapid passing away of this brief experience. They do not stop to think and to look beneath the surface of their daily activities. They laugh when they have many reasons to weep. Happy is he who can overcome the distractions which hinder him from straight thinking. As for thee, strive to develop within thyself a genuine compunction of heart. Compunction is a deep and lasting sorrow for thy sins. It is not a gloomy nor depressing sorrow, but an intelligent admission of thy sins and a sincere determination to do something about them. Since compunction comes from a realization of how they have failed so good a God, it brings with it a readiness to accept anything from my hand. Compunction opens the way to many blessings and precious graces. When compunction fills thy soul, the world will lose its magic attraction and will become more distasteful to thee. Compunction will help thee realize how quickly earthly joys pass away, while eternity goes on forever. Thou wilt see clearly that thy sins have offended me. One who has genuine compunction is honest enough to admit his sins and is truly sorry for them. His sorrow is proved by his sincere efforts to be rid of his faults. Think. Compunction is a great grace by which God helps me to face the truth about my sins. It also helps me to prove my sorrow for my faults. By compunction, a man begins to attack his faults and to practice the opposite virtues. I can be sure of my sincere sorrow only when I have begun to do something about my faults. Compunction is a lasting sorrow because it is not an emotion, but rather an intelligent admission of facts. It shows me my faults, God's goodness, and my own need to change for the better. Then it helps me undertake the daily task of abandoning my faults and acquiring the opposite virtues. Pray. Lord, I want to live a cheerful life, but I do not want that kind of cheerfulness which refuses to admit the truth. I can admit my sins and still be cheerful as long as I'm doing my best to overcome and make up for these sins. I do not want any gift or talent which might make me proud or worse in any way. Not everything that is high is holy, nor is every pleasant thing good. Good desires are not always unselfish. You, my Lord, are not always pleased with the things that we prize. It is far better to have compunction than to be able to talk about it. Grant me genuine compunction so that I may hate my sins and daily fight against them. Amen. Chapter 23, Striving for Compunction. Christ said, "My child, unless a man tries hard to acquire a holy sorrow for his sins, he is not worthy of my heavenly consolation." Are thee doing thy best to acquire this compunction? This grace will teach thee more easily if thou wilt turn thy back for a while on thy daily distractions. Come aside more often to be alone with me. Reflect on my gifts and thy misuse of them. Be honest and face the truth. Reading and reflecting will help thee to realize the wickedness of all sins, even smaller ones. Do not look for new theories and mere curiosities, but stick to solid everyday truth, truth which will improve thy daily life. In solitude and quiet, thou wilt discover the hidden treasures of Holy Scripture. As thou begin to become more intimate with me, thy Creator, thou wilt make great progress. Thou wilt find tears to wash and purify thy soul. Thou wilt also have a deep interior joy as my angels and I draw near to thee. Learn to pray and labor unseen by the eyes of men. Slowly the gift of compunction fills thy soul. Thou wilt be filled with fresh vigor. As thou become more eager to make up for thy sins, thou wilt find hard things becoming easier. Think. Jesus said that certain devils are driven out only by prayer and fasting. This shows that some of God's gifts are given only if we do our part to prepare ourselves for them. Compunction will be lasting and fruitful only if I make a sincere personal effort to receive it worthily and apply it wisely. Through solitude, prayer, reading, and meditation, I will understand how I can best receive and use compunction in my daily life. Pray. O holy and merciful Father, fill my soul with true compunction. Make me honest in admitting my sins and determined in overcoming them each day. I need your assistance so that I may not be a coward, but may make a sincere daily effort to please you more in all my activities. Help me to abandon anything in life which is opposed to your holy gift of compunction. Amen. Chapter 24, Purgatory, Here or Hereafter. Christ said, My child, do not expect to find peace until thou have overcome a variety of troubles and opposition. If thou say that thou cannot bear much suffering now, how will thou be able to endure the purifying pains of purgatory hereafter? The patient man finds a cleansing purgatory in this earthly life. When others wrong him, he is more sorry than evil is done than that he has been wronged. He forgives the evildoer from the bottom of his heart. He is not slow to ask pardon when he himself has hurt others. He is more easily moved to pity than to anger. He frequently disregards his feelings and tries to live above them, according to his intelligence and my grace. Think. Either here on earth or hereafter in purgatory, I must make up for each fault I commit. Nothing tainted will be allowed to enter heaven. I can purify my soul now by following the example and words of Christ my Redeemer. He gained for me the grace to conquer sin and error. Now I must do my part by living a holy life. If I refuse to and die in venial sin, I'll have to make it up in purgatory. If I die in mortal sin, I shall condemn myself to hell forever. Pray. My Jesus, you fulfilled your Father's will largely by your patience during your earthly life. Therefore, it is only right that I, a miserable sinner, should be patient in my daily life. Even though this present life may feel like a burden, still, by the help of your grace, it is a great opportunity to earn heavenly merit. Your holy example and the lives of your saints make this life lighter and more bearable for those who take time out each day so as to see more clearly your way to heaven. Amen. Chapter 25, Man's Greatest Treasure. Christ said, My child, only in me wilt thou find what is best and most precious for thee. God is far greater and better than all things created. I am the Most High. No one else is all-powerful. God alone is perfectly charming and full of consolation. In me thou wilt find perfect beauty and all-satisfying love. Most noble and most glorious above all things is the Maker of all. Beg often for the grace to find thou joy in me above all things created, above health or beauty, above glory and honor, above power and dignity, above all knowledge and cleverness, above all praise and admiration, above all arts and enjoyments, above all material comforts and wealth, above all hopes and promises, above all human consolation and appreciation. Treasure me more than the gifts and rewards which I bestow on men. In me thou wilt find more than in everything else. Whatever I give, whatever is not God, is too little and insufficient for thee. I made thee for myself, the perfect good. Thy heart will not find true rest until it rests in me, the perfect giver and the perfect gift. Think, no matter what I like or love, unless it is God himself, it can never give me the perfect happiness which my soul desires. So many who reached earthly success finally took their own life. Why? Because they came to realize that nothing on earth could give them the happiness which they wanted. They should have turned at last to God, but they had forgotten him in their foolish quest for earthly joy. Pray. Dear Lord, I cannot live for a joy that is doomed to fade away. Though I hope for a reasonable joy on earth, I shall never turn my back on you by sin. Earth's good things only reflect your beauty, your goodness, and your power. I will never abandon the glorious reality for the sake of its reflection. When I am tempted to sin for some earthly attractions, give me the grace to remember your goodness, greatness, and love. Amen. Part 2. After Conversion. You must be deeply impressed by the fact of your great weakness, your complete dependence on God, your blind selfishness, your need of frequently renewing your good resolutions, and of daily expressing sorrow for your sins. Do not be afraid to face the truth. You must die and must receive a just sentence to either heaven or hell. Far from being depressed, you should be determined to cooperate with the all-loving God, who desires to show you the way to a holy life on earth and a perfect, all-satisfying life in heaven. Having seen your complete need of God and of His loving attention and generosity, try to realize that He deserves the best love and loyalty which you can offer Him. How can you please Him more in your daily life? Part of this question is answered in the following. Chapter 26, Beginning a New Life. Christ said, "My child, do not lose the hope of making spiritual progress. Thou still have time. Thy chance is not over yet. Why put off thy good intentions until tomorrow? Now is the time for action. Begin this very moment. Here is thy opportunity to make a new start. Begin thy new life with the help of my grace. Always keep a steady hope of achieving success. Do not let thy failures discourage thee. Beware also of overconfidence, so that thee may not become a victim of pride or laziness. Whenever thou have to omit thy prayers or some daily spiritual exercise because of some urgent duty or for the sake of thy neighbor, try to make up later what was omitted. Do not be too ready to omit spiritual exercises because of weariness. This can easily become a habit which will hurt thee. Think. It is easy enough to start again. All I have to do is, 1, to examine my life, 2, face what needs to be done, 3, pray for strength, and 4, start doing it. I may fail on this occasion or that, but the main thing is that I have begun, and am determined to go on trying in spite of any failures which may occur. Pray. Lord, now I begin. Help me to live as you desire. If it is your will, I can do it. If you want this of me, I ought to do it. Let me not be a coward and run away from your will. You know what is right and best. I must begin now, Lord. Help me. I do not expect to become a different person overnight. Just as my faults developed slowly over a period, so too will the opposite virtues grow within me. I will not be discouraged when my old faults catch me by surprise. My love for you will be proved by action, that is, by a steady, patient effort to get rid of my faults and to practice the opposite virtue. Now I begin. Amen." Chapter 27. Holiness in Everyday Life. Christ said, "My child, at times thou hear people say that they are too busy to bother with religion. People who say such things do not understand me, nor themselves, nor their daily life. They do not realize that religion is as necessary an activity as eating, sleeping, and working. I am far more than the air thou breathe, the food thou eat, and the rest which brings thee renewed strength. All of these things and everything else come to thee from my hand. Without my loving support, each moment these things would fail thee, and thou would vanish from the face of the earth. I am the center of thy existence. Thou depend on me more than thou dream. Just as thou give due attention to the people who come into thy daily life, so too is it normal for thee to give due attention to me, to speak to me, to try to please me, to ask for my help, to express sorrow for thy offenses, and to love me for my goodness. These are normal acts for any intelligent human being. The more I show myself to him, the more should he strive to please me in this everyday life. Religion is the bond which unites thee to me. To neglect it is as foolish as refusing to breathe, or eat, or rest. In fact, it is worse. These other things keep thy body alive, but religion is necessary for the eternal life of thy soul. The man who neglects this part of his life is abnormal, that is, he is not what he ought to be. He is neglecting something which is natural and normal for him, something which perfects him more than he realizes. There is no real opposition between laboring for thy earthly needs and laboring for heaven. Thou have to work each day, but this work can be a glorious prayer. Thou must eat, work, sleep, and have recreation. But all of these can become holy actions, actions done for eternal life. Whatever thou do, do it as I want it done, and thou wilt be doing it as perfectly as possible. Be reasonable in whatever thou do or say or think. Refuse to violate my commandments, regardless of any earthly advantage or disadvantage. I made the things of this life for thee, so that thou may perfect thyself by using them intelligently. Let my words and example guide thee in whatever thou do. In doubt, consult my church. Do this, and thou wilt be working for success on earth and an all-satisfying glory in heaven. Think. Once I get a full view of this earthly life, I will see how all-important a part God plays in it. Instead of living for the moment or for the next few years, I'll live for my highest and most important goal. I will see the unending importance of what I am doing today. I will understand how each act of this day helps me become a little more perfect, a little more ready for heaven. Only sin is foolish. Only sin is bad. All else is good and pleasing to God, because it helps me in one way or another. Pray. My Father in heaven, I desire to make the best use of this earthly life of mine. I want to live as full a life as possible. Therefore, in everything I think, do, or say, I want you to be my partner. Since you support me in all my thinking, speaking, and acting, I want to please you in them. By living this way, I will be following your wisdom and my own highest good. I now join this daily life of mine to the earthly life of Jesus, your divine Son. With his example and with the strength of his holy sacraments, I hope to please you every moment. Thus, my daily life will be my best preparation for eternal life. Amen. At the end of the music, please go to the next tape.